It's Thursday, the 11th of February, 2016. Happy birthday to Ben McLemore and Nikola Mirotic. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster podcast brought to you by moneyball.com.au and BoostGN. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like BoostGN and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a daily sponsor. It's very straightforward. Thank you to everyone who has left a review so far. It goes a long way in helping the show grow and reach more people. Also, of course, a big shout out to moneyball.com.au, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, please make sure you're checking out Moneyball and entering all the great contests they have there for not only NBA stuff, but Australian football, Australian rugby, cricket, English Premier League, Australian soccer. They had NFL as well. I'm not sure they're having baseball. I'm pretty sure they're going to be having baseball as well. Just make sure you're checking out Moneyball for all your DFS action. All right, there was obviously a heap of stuff that happened on Wednesday. There was 12 games on. Everybody in the NBA apparently hurt their shoulder. Lots of stuff are going down. So
let's get to it.
Start off with the daily contests. On Instagram, J.R. Smith, how many three-point attempts is he going to take? The answer was 7. Two people got that right. At Chris underscore Smoove and Rainasaurus. So congratulations to Chris Smoove and Rainasaurus for guessing the correct number of three-point attempts that J.R. Smith will have. And on Facebook, it was, how many points is Victor Oladipo going to score? 14 points was the answer. Henrik Tolkstam and Zhuan Lin. So congratulations to both of you guys for getting that one correct. If you want to enter these contests each day, it doesn't take very long to do. It's on Facebook, facebook.com/redrockbasketball, or Instagram at redrock_bball. And I put one of these up each day. All you do, leave a guess of whatever the question is for the day. Also, tag one of your mates and see if they want to get involved and see who can get closer to the pin or get the correct answer. Tomorrow's ones for Thursday, might be today. Thursday on Instagram, straightforward. Greg Monroe, how many points is he going to score? For Facebook, we're going with Russell Westbrook. How many points, rebounds, and assists combined is Russell Westbrook going to get? So follow along on Facebook and on Instagram and get involved in the conversation over there. All right, the monstrous line of the night. Chris Paul of the Boston Celtics. Remember yesterday where I was talking about the point guards, Chris Paul and Isaiah Thomas, if you were listening yesterday. Oh, this is a bad matchup. They've both got massive negatives in terms of their ease ranking. You know, the Clippers shut down opposition point guards. The Celtics destroy opposition point guards. Well, it turns out that both Chris Paul and Isaiah Thomas were absolutely dominant in their game, something that made really no sense when looking at past matchups and the way. Look, they are good players, obviously, but both guys had been a little bit down and their matchup was horrific. Didn't really affect these guys too much, though. Chris Paul was fantastic. He played 48 minutes in the overtime game, 35 points, including 3 triples, 5 rebounds, 13 assists, 3 steals and a block, and he went 13 of 21 from the field and only had 2 turnovers in a very, very Chris Paul line. He was written off at the start of the season, and it's very easy to write guys off at the start of the year when they have struggles, but he was dealing with that rib problem, and it definitely limited him. He's basically right where you would have drafted him. He's ranked on the season 8th, and I reckon that's probably the spot where you would have been able to draft him in most leagues, maybe 5 or 6. But at 8, averaging 19.3 points, interestingly, more than what he averaged last year, 1.6 triples, 3.8 rebounds, 9.4 assists, 2.1 steals, again, an increase on last year. Where he's dropped off a bit, his assists are 0.8 less, which is significant but not massive, and his field goal percentage has dropped 3%, which is a significant drop-off. But still, Chris Paul is clearly a top 10 player, and the struggles to start off the season, they've paled into insignificance, and I just hope everyone listening to this podcast remembers that next year when your first-round pick struggles. John Wall, Chris Paul, Anthony Davis, oh, these guys are terrible, wasted my pick. They're going to end up, in most cases, right where they were when you drafted them. And that's a great opportunity to buy low on guys as well when people get pissed off for wasting their first round draft pick on a guy who's washed up or he's a bum and how could I have drafted him and this is rubbish. it fixes itself, and it fixed itself this year with Chris Paul. The waiver wire line of the night, Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I thought Thompson had a pretty good shot at a decent night. I wasn't factoring in the fact that Kevin Love would only last 20 minutes with an issue with his shoulder. Thankfully, Kevin Love's shoulder is not serious. Yes, it's the same shoulder he hurt last year. This one they're calling at the moment just a bruise. So no structural damage, no ligament damage or anything like that. Just a bruise, and they're being overly cautious. So Love doesn't look like he's going to miss any games with this injury. But Tristan Thompson benefited with no Kevin Love there. He went 15 and 13. He had 4 assists, a block, and hit all 6 of his shots. And actually hit all 3 of his free throws. We know, though, by now who Tristan Thompson is. He's a guy who gets you big rebounding, and that can be useful. You know, the last 2 weeks, 10.6 rebounds in 33 minutes, that's not bad. 66% from the field, that's really good as well. But he just does so very little in the other areas that, you know, it's not going to be for everyone. He's not a must-own 12-team league guy. He might be owned, and he's a real great... Hey, if their Cavs have got a back-to-back on Friday or Saturday, you pick up Tristan Thompson and get yourself 20 rebounds. That's a big, big deal. Plus, you get, you know, a massive field goal percentage boost, and maybe you get 2 blocks out of it. That can be worthwhile, but you're getting nothing else from him, basically. And as long as you understand that, then he's fine. He's got to fit in with the rest of what your team does, and that's always a key with adding free agents and trades and all that sort of stuff. Make sure they fit what you actually need. The young gun of the night, is there anyone else? Karl Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves, a career-high 35 points for Cat in 35 minutes, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks. He went 12 of 19 from the field. He went 11 of 13 from the free throw line. I put a tweet out today with a poll, which you can still go and vote on, at redrock_bball. I think that's got it pinned to the top of my profile, that Karl Anthony Towns is having the best rookie season since. And the options I put there were Shaq, LeBron, and Chris Paul, and then an other. And I think at the moment, LeBron is leading, so he's been the best rookie since LeBron, which is, we're talking 13 years ago now. He is putting up just a tremendous season. His last month, and we talk about all the time, he's probably going to be a first-round pick. He's definitely going to be a first-round pick, just gradually increasing. Oh, yeah, he'll probably go between 10 and 12. In the last month, he's the sixth-ranked player, averaging 20 and 12 with 2 assists, almost 2 blocks, 56 and 86, 57 and 86, actually. These are ridiculously good numbers. There is no doubt he is a first-round player next year. I would be shocked. The minutes are ramping right up at the moment, and that's the only thing keeping him outside the top 10 on the season, basically, is he only played 30 minutes and started the season playing 28 minutes. He is just ludicrously good. His last week, he's giving you 23.5 and 12. Half a three, two blocks, 60% shooting, 83% shooting from the free throw line. It really doesn't get much better than Karl Anthony Towns from a rookie. And honestly, he is going to be a top 3 player, it feels like, in the next 3 years. Talk about dynasty leagues. If you had a dynasty startup coming next season, if you picked him number 1, you're not wrong. You're maybe not right, because, you know, Curry, Westbrook, Durant, Davis are all in that consideration as the top 5 dynasty guys. But Curry's 28. You know, Durant is around that sort of age as well. Westbrook's a similar age. Towns is 20. You've got 7-8 years extra from him, and that might be what you might sacrifice a marginal amount in the first season if you picked him at number 1. But geez, you've got a terrific foundation. So if you're looking to get into dynasty leagues next year, get yourself one of those top couple of picks, because this guy is going to be incredible. We knew he was going to be good. No one could possibly have known he was going to be this good this early. This is just, it's almost unprecedented what he's doing. I'll stop frothing Karl Anthony Towns now. Let's go into the dud of the night. Ryan Anderson of the New Orleans Pelicans played 24 minutes. He hit 3 of 10 shots for 7 points, had 3 rebounds and an assist. Not a great night for Rhino. He is prone to that, having some up and down performances. His last couple of weeks have been a little bit off. He's still averaging 17 points and 2 triples, but he just doesn't do much else. And you need him to score, and you need him to hit threes to really give you value. He's going to be a negative in basically every other area. And when his free throw dips like it has in the last 2 weeks down to 78 from an 86 mark, that means that he's just not providing anything. At the moment, he's a points and threes guy, and that's really about it. He doesn't have tremendously high value. He's still obviously a must-own play. This was not a good night from Anderson, but he's just not awesome anymore. And with the trade deadline coming up, there's a lot of interest in Ryan Anderson. Maybe we see him get moved. It is a possibility. I'm getting more and more interested in this trade deadline. Initially, I was like, no, I don't think much is going to happen. But maybe it's just the spewing of rumors that's coming now that I'm thinking, well, maybe stuff's going to happen. Maybe Horford's going to move. Maybe Griffin's going to move. He's not going to move. Maybe Victor Oladipo's going to move. That would be pretty dumb. Greg Monroe, all these guys, there's so many names that are just being bandied about. Maybe it's just so people have things to talk about. But I'm getting a little bit more excited for next Friday or next Thursday US time to see exactly what goes down on this trade deadline. Let's now look at the perfect DFS lineup from the 12 games of action on Wednesday. At point guard, it was those two guys who I talked about. Hard to play them because they're playing against each other. Well, that was a load of shit. Chris Paul had 66.5 points and Isaiah Thomas had 57.3. Fantastic against each other. The overtime obviously helps, but they were great before the game even went into overtime. At shooting guard, Jim Harden again with 57.3. He is just a tour de force at the moment. And Evan Fournier with Toby Harris out, he always made a good play if Harris was going to be out. And he was good here, 36.9. At small forward, Bob Cove, 41.5. Again, showing why it pays to have faith in him. And you know, throwing him into a tournament was always a pretty decent idea, 41.5. And Mo Harkless, loving this from Mo Harkless. I said he was worth in potentially a sneaky look if Vonleh happened to be out. Well, Vonleh played and didn't play at all. And I completely applaud that because Vonleh's just no good. I really like Harkless as a player. I think that he's been criminally underused the last two seasons in Orlando and in Portland. And when he plays, he can do a lot of things for a team. He's a guy to watch. He's not a 12-team league sort of guy now, but at this low salary, if he's going to play these minutes, Harkless in Portland at DFS value is going to have it until the salary comes up. And then we start looking at him in seasonal leagues and going, okay, well, maybe there's something to see here. Now, Tristan Thompson at power forward, 38.6. The boost he got with Love out helped there. And Jared Sullinger at 46.7. He was great against the Clippers too. Again, always really hard to tell what's going to happen with the Celtics front court. It helped him a little bit with Kelly Olynyk going down with a shoulder problem. But it's always a bit of a punt situation with those big men. And the center, Andre Drummond, 53.4 points. That lineup would have netted you 438.3 points. That's a big, big total. Wouldn't have been that easy to get it, I don't think. Mo Harkless, a tough one. Tristan Thompson, not an easy guy to put in there. Putting both those point guards in for the Celtics and Clippers against each other would have been a massive leap of faith. That wasn't something that I was all that keen in doing. All right, let's get into the box score breakdown portion of the show. We're going to look at all 12 of these games and see what we can get out of them. And then we'll be back to do a small DFS preview after that of the two games for Thursday. But before I get into the box score breakdown, just a small break for a word from one of our sponsors. All right, we are back now. Let's have a look at these games. There were a lot on, so hey, this podcast might be another long one. I'm sure you're used to that by at the moment. I seem to have a lot of words to say recently. So let's get straight into these games and have a look at them. The first one, the Sacramento Kings and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Kings storming home, which they've been doing in a lot of their games, to be honest. This one, they actually got the victory over the Sixers, and the Sixers had a big lead in this. And they'll be happy they were able to get the lead. They'll be pissed that they lost. They'll also be happy that they lost as well. So in the end, it works out well for everyone. Rajon Rondo with another 15-assist game. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 15 assists, and 3 steals. A nice night there. And Boogie Cousins went 28-12-5 with 2 steals. Just continuing on his nice season. But he is a real percentage destroyer at the moment, Boogie. 8 of 18 from the field and 12 of 17 from the free throw line. Rudy Gay scored 22 points with 3 blocks. Darren Collison had 25, 3, and 3 in his 32 minutes. Collison has to be owned, by the way. And Willie Cauley-Stein, who started, he's so up and down. 17 minutes for Cauley-Stein, 3 points and 3 rebounds. The minutes are just, they're all over the place. And it's really hard to predict what George Karl is going to do with him. And for as long as George Karl remains the coach, that will remain to be the case. So he's not a must-own guy in a 12-team league. He can have value, but he's probably going to be the worst guy on your roster who can be shuttled in and out and streamed forward and that sort of stuff. Marco Bellinelli was terrible. 23 minutes for 6 points on 9 shots. Not the greatest night there. That allowed Collison to play more. They should just play Collison and Rondo more. That's the best pairing, and it's the one that makes the most sense, but Karl is not always going to go with that for whatever reason, but that is the one that makes the most sense. And Omri Caspi was bad as well. 2 points and 5 rebounds in 20 minutes. He is more of a 14-team league guy at the moment. Bob Cove touched on him before, 32 minutes, 29 points, 7 triples, 5 rebounds, 1 assist and 6 steals. He was almost the monstrous line of the night, Bob Cove. Huge, huge performance. He obviously has to be owned everywhere. I know many people were sick and tired of his streakiness and his up and downness, but this is what he can do. He's a guy that, you know what, I actually did personally. I was in a shallow league, and I dropped him, I think yesterday maybe, to grab Dennis Schroeder, just with the trade issues. I'm pretty pissed that I did. It was dumb of me. It was a little bit reactionary, and that's something I tend to coach against. You know, don't be too reactionary. But I was sitting pretty in the league. Didn't need threes, and I thought I'm going to get Schroeder and get some assists and bump myself up if the trade happens to go down. Well, Covington's gone out and gone bananas here. Maybe I can reacquire him. We'll see. Covington for the season, he's still a top 70 player. And for as much as he's struggled recently, he's still in the top 85 over the last 2 weeks. Because he gives you a lot of threes, he gives you a lot of steals, he's a really nice free throw shooter, he gets pretty good rebounds for a small forward as well. Over his last 2 weeks, in the struggles, he's averaging 7.2 rebounds, 2 triples, 2 steals. These are good numbers. And he's got the potential to be a much better guy, a top 50 guy, if things all break right. So, yep, there's been struggles, but some big games mixed in there too. Jahlil Okafor looked really good with Nerlens Noel out, 26 and 10, 5 assists and 2 blocks. Big percentage night from him as well, so a huge game from Okafor with Noel out. And with Noel missing with that knee problem, Jeremy Grant started and played 29 minutes and had a very Jeremy Grant sort of line. 7, 6 and 6, had a triple and 4 blocks as well. I don't think Noel is going to be a long-term issue with his knee. He's going to have some problems with his knee. We've seen it a couple of times already this year. And Grant's a guy that you can sort of look at, especially if you need blocks, given he's averaging basically 2 a game over the last month. 10 points, 5 rebounds, and a steal. They're all, you know, useful-ish numbers, and 49% from the field, which is well above what he's done over the course of the season. I don't really think that he's a guy that is a must-own 12-team league guy and he should really heavily be considered, but he's definitely a good stream option, and when an injury goes down, there's a lot to like about him. Nick Stauskas took the revenge game factor seriously. He played 31 minutes and went 16-2-3 and had 4 triples coming off that neck problem. 6 of 10 shooting. He probably won't get any better than this season, so not much to really factor in there. And Ish Smith, only the 31 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds, and 10 assists. So at least he got you 10 assists. And Isaiah Cannon struggled with 6 points in his 16 minutes. TJ McConnell, I thought he was in line for a decent performance. Not so good. 4, 5, and 3 with a steal, which is not terrible, but it's not fantastic. The San Antonio Spurs and the Orlando Magic. The Magic kept this one really close, in fact, and Kawhi Leonard had to hit a game winner to win the game, obviously, because that's what a game winner is. 29-7-2, 3 triples, 2 steals, 1 block for Kawhi on superb percentages. 12 of 19 from the field, hit both of his free throws, hit all 3 of his 3-point attempts. He is just an animal on the court. Bit of a drop-off recently, but these are some nice numbers over the last 2-3 games. LaMarcus Aldridge, not quite a 62% shooter, but 8 of 16, 21-7, 2 blocks, another nice night from him. And Danny Green, is he officially back? I'm happy to stamp him with that in erasable ink. 12 and 5 with 2 triples, with 2 assists, and 1 block for Green. He has to be owned absolutely everywhere. Tony Parker sat this one out, just an extended all-star break for Parker. Patty Mills then didn't start, but he played 31 minutes off the bench. 17, 6 and 7, 3 triples, 2 steals, and 1 block. That's his best performance of the year by far, even in the other games that Parker's been out. Mills hasn't even got anywhere close to those sort of minutes. All that number of stats. So it's not a case of, oh, if Parker's out, he's a must-go-and-grab or he's a must-DFS guy, because most of the other nights, he's struggled. Now, Ray McCallum started here and went 4-5 in 17 minutes. Yeah, whatever. It's Ray McCallum. Tim Duncan returned. He'd missed the last month or so of action. 18 minutes for Duncan, 5.7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. So even in an 18-minute role, seven rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks, is still remarkably useful from Tim Duncan. He is going to have 12-team value. It's whether you can deal with your games missed or minute restrictions or things like that whether you want to own him. But he would have been dropped in quite a few leagues. If he's back playing, then he's back in the roster conversation. On the Magic, Evan Fournier, 42 minutes, 28 points, 3 triples and 5 assists. A big game from Fournier. Really good shooting as well. He has to be owned for the time being until he goes back to the bench and gets jerked around again. But for now, he's the flavour of the month for Scott Skiles. Nick Vucevic, 20-13-5 with a steal and two blocks, another big game from Vooch. And Lord Alfred Payton has now put together a string of successful games, 13-6-7 with two steals. That's three in a row after I said that he was really struggling, so he's really giving it to me here. Vic Oladipo played 40 minutes. Big minutes for a lot of these Magic guys. 14-3-1 for Oladipo. Two triples and two steals, so a nice night there. And Aaron Gordon, only the 4 points. But what you like, what you love, in fact, is 14 boards, three assists, one steal, two blocks. That's where his value is going to come. Make sure he is owned in your league heading into the All-Star break. Mario Hezonja played just 15 minutes, but had 12 points and a couple of threes. He's definitely starting to look at least a little bit better than what we saw earlier on in the season. And now he is in the conversation for your 14 and 16 team leagues. Do I own this guy? And I pay more of an attention to him in your 12-team formats. The Charlotte Hornets and the Indiana Pacers. Jeremy Lin with a huge game, 28 minutes off the bench. And he benefited from another injury to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Kidd-Gilchrist dislocated the injury, which he's already had the shoulder surgery on that kept him out for all of this season so far. This does not look good for Kidd-Gilchrist. We don't know the extent of it as yet. We would say there's going to be a couple of weeks in it, but he can be dropped if you picked him up in a 12-team league. He's not a high-end asset anyway. It's just a pain in the ass for Charlotte and for Kidd-Gilchrist. Kidd-Gilchrist went 8-3-2 in his 19 minutes, and Lin got the extra bump, and Lin's now going to come back into the conversation for 12-team leagues. 28 minutes, 14-5-4, two threes, three steals, and two blocks. That's a fantastic all-round performance, and he's going to gather some of those minutes, and PJ Hairston will likely get back into the rotation now as well. Kemba Walker played 40 minutes, 25.7 rebounds, three assists, two steals, and a block. Really fantastic all-over-the-box score performance, and Nick Batum went 11-6-5 with two blocks and three triples. Not a great shooting night from Batum, going 4-12, but a nice stat-stuffing night. And Cody Zeller, only the 23 minutes for Zeller, but a productive 23 minutes. 11-11 with three assists on 4 of 7 shooting and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Al Jefferson might impact him coming back, but I still think that Zeller can be a 12-team league player. Jeremy Lamb also got hot, getting 16 points on 7 of 8 shooting. Do not believe that too much. And Marvin Williams really struggled. Only the 18 minutes for Marvin, as they gave other run to guys like Frank Kaminsky, who played 30 minutes. Marvin Williams, 8 points and 2 triples and a block. And Kaminsky, 8-2 with two triples. Now, not dropping Marvin Williams, don't think you should drop him, but it always gets me nervous when players I don't think are good get limited for no real reason. And that's exactly sort of what happened to Marvin Williams here, and it's what's happened to Will Barton at times. It's happened to Kent Bazemore at times. These are guys who have been producing fantastic top 100 fantasy value, but when they just play odd 18-minute nights or 20-minute nights for no reason, I go, okay, it's because the coach worked out they're not good. Now, maybe most of the time that's not the case, but it's what my brain automatically does. And I have to think, okay, well, you're not dropping these guys. You're holding them and you're seeing what happens. But could this be a trend? Because if you're a good player, like Nick Batum or Kemba Walker on this team, they just don't play 18 minutes randomly. They will always play. They'll have bad nights, but they'll play their minutes. Steve Clifford won't just go, Marvin, it's not happening. Go and park your ass for the next 20 minutes. Which is pretty much what happened here. On the Pacers side of things, they got destroyed. Paul George was still decent, 22-8-6, two triples and a block. On 8 of 18 shooting for Paul George, a decent line, but nothing too spectacular. Jan Mahimi started and played 26 minutes, 8-8 with three assists and a steal. Definitely can be owned in 12-team leagues. It just really depends on your team and your 12-team league. While Miles Turner, not his best night, 10-5 in 23 minutes on some subpar shooting. Obviously, we're holding onto him. Jordan Hill suffered a dislocated finger. He only played 8 minutes, so not much to really care about with him. He's a deeper league sort of player. Monte Ellis, 10 points with 4 assists. George Hill, 12-2-2 with a triple one. Just decent sort of lines, but definitely nothing great from any of these guys. And CJ Miles, there's no room for him in a 12-team league. There's no room for him in a 14-team league at the moment, to be honest. 15 minutes, 7-2-1 with two steals and a block. With the emergence of Miles Turner, CJ Miles is the guy that is copping it at the moment. The next game, the Los Angeles Clippers and the Boston Celtics. This game went to overtime. JJ Redick had 27 points on an efficient 8 of 14 shooting. Hit two triples as well with three rebounds. Not much else, but still nice, efficient scoring from him. And Wes Johnson did it again. Only 7 points in only 22 minutes, but a three rebounds, a steal, four blocks. He does bits and pieces of everything, and he does some of them in pretty big volume. And it's a real, real important part of fantasy, what Wes Johnson can bring. He should be playing over Luke Marmute. He should be playing over Paul Pierce. And I don't mean starting. I just mean he should be getting 25 to 27 minutes instead of these guys playing 16 to Marmute. Marmute can't hit a layup. He can't dribble. Yes, he provides defense, but so does Wes Johnson, but can actually do a bit more than what Marmute does. And I do really like what Johnson can do. DeAndre Jordan, 17 trips to the line. That's not ideal. 9 of 17 there. 21 and 16 with a steal and two blocks. You're happy with all those numbers, though. And Lance Stephenson got some extra run. 24 minutes for Stephenson. 12 points with 2 triples and 4 rebounds. But let's leave him for the very, very deep leagues. On the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, 36, 4 and 11. A 3 and a steal. Really taking it to the Clippers. A big game there. And Jared Sullinger was helpful too. 21, 11, and 7 with a 3 and a steal in his 30 minutes. He's a guy that I own in 12-team leagues. Out of all these front court guys, he is the leader at the moment. He's getting the most minutes and being the most productive. Kelly Olynyk suffered that bruised shoulder. He lasted 11 minutes, 7, 2, and 2. He was really hard to own before the injury. And Amir Johnson played just 13 minutes. He was benched to start the second half as the Celtics went with Marcus Smart in place of him, went really small. Johnson is borderline 12 team for me. Tyler Zeller, who'd had a nice run, and I mentioned that once you start stringing together 3 nice games, it's time for Brad Stevens to bring you back down to earth, and that's exactly what happened. Tyler Zeller, the last 2 games, struggled. He only played 6 minutes here for 2 points. Any pickup of him can now be quickly returned. Evan Turner continues to play well. 31 minutes for Turner, 14, 6, and 6. Just doing it in the areas where you know he's going to do it. And that key one is obviously the assist category. Avery Bradley had 18 points. Marcus Smart went 17, 4, and 4 with 3 triples, a steal, and a block in a very full line. And Jay Crowder, 19, 8, and 3 with 3 triples, a steal, and a block. So good performances from a stack of Celtics players with Amir Johnson really struggling. By the way, Amir Johnson played 13 minutes and had 1 assist. That is not a... Not a good fantasy line. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Brooklyn Nets in their first game without Marc Gasol, they started Jermichael Green, and he played 21 minutes and went 13-4. It's not bad from Green. That's something that in a 12-team league you pay attention to, but in a 14-team league, that gets you a little bit excited. Now, it's hard to judge this one because it was a blowout and it was against the Nets, so everyone's minutes were limited. We saw every player bar Matt Barnes, which was odd, every player bar Matt Barnes play at least 20 minutes and at most 29 minutes. And that spread everything out. Had someone message me on Twitter today, or tweet me on Twitter, that's what you do, about I want to trade Mike Conley. And I can't remember who he wanted to trade him for. It was someone bad. Because he said, I think that Mike Conley, his production and usage will go down with Marc Gasol out. Now, as usual, I'm not trying to call you out, but I hate it. I hate that move. Conley's usage will go up. Conley will start to do more. He's going to have to score more. And we saw it here. In 29 minutes, he went 24-5, 3 triples and a steal. A big performance for Mike Conley. If you've held on to Mike Conley all season, this is definitely not the time you want to trade him away. He's going to start to put up some pretty decent numbers, I think. And he was pretty aggressive in one of the quotes I saw from him, saying something along the lines of, we're not folding this season. You'll see what we're doing. We've got plenty planned. We're going to come out hard. And he did. He looked really, really good. Zach Randolph was good too. A very full Z-Bo line. 15, 3, and 6, which is odd in itself. But then a 3, 3 steals and a block. If you're a Zach Randolph owner, just don't expect that too much. Well, don't expect really that sort of performance ever again. Jeff Green, 18, 4, and 2 with 3 triples and 2 steals. He has to be owned. Mario Chalmers played 25 minutes, 10, 6, and 3. He'll get a little bit more playing time with the way that they're going to push everyone sort of down a spot in the rotation. Don't think it's really for 12-team leagues. Interestingly, Tony Allen only played 20 minutes, and Courtney Lee played 29. Neither of those guys are really tickling my fancy for 12-team leagues. Well, Matt Barnes, really odd in the 14 minutes. I don't think there's much to be... There's a little bit to be concerned about, but I'm not going, you know what? He's going to play 14 minutes from here on out. I'm positive that's not going to be the case. Lots of talk on Brandon Wright on the Basketball Monster forums. He can be owned. He's a great stash candidate. He had a really strong end of the season in Phoenix last year, but there's a couple of things. He hasn't played in like 3 months. He's coming off a knee injury. He might, even when he was and for most of his career in Dallas and in Boston and to a degree in Phoenix, he couldn't get 30 minutes very often. He'd cap out at 24 or 25, even if he was a starter. Now, at the end of the time in Phoenix, he started putting up bigger numbers. But coming off a knee injury where you haven't played in like 3 months and you're a big man, I'm not expecting him to go crazy and start playing 28, 29 minutes. I think we've got him listed at about 24 minutes on average for the rest of the season. That'll involve a bit of ramping up time and then playing some extended minutes down the track. So his overall value might not be great. And this is something I'm now, and people always want to get into arguments with me about this, but when a guy's biggest, single biggest Z-score contribution in the category, across his categories is turnovers, looking at someone's overall rank definitely skews it. And the reason I say that is that if your biggest contribution is turnovers, and that's the biggest thing that you're contributing to your team, I can get someone to be a bigger contributor in turnovers by not playing anybody at that position. And yes, I know I don't get his points, but you're getting sub-average points, sub-average rebounds. The only thing that positive that Brandon Wright generally brings, he brings big positive field goal percentage, yes, and pretty good block numbers and a massive turnover number. But you play no one and you get a bigger turnover number. And it's not to say that turnovers aren't a category that you can use. I don't like them, but it's not to say that you can definitely use them and you can build teams around turnovers, not a problem. It's to say that when you look at someone's ranking and you go to Basketball Monster and you look at the projections and it comes up and Brandon Wright sits there at 80 or 70 and you go, he's the 70th ranked player, I need to add him. That's where you need to, and it goes with everything. It's not just with turnovers. I'm sure that many of the most successful teams in their leagues, if you go to run the projections and click the button that says available in my players, your 13 players will not be the top 13 players on that list. I generally might have the top 8 of those players or 9 of those players in mine, and then a couple of guys sprinkled in, and then a couple of my players that I own lower down because they fit exactly what I need. I might be a team that's punting field goal percentage and blocks, so therefore big men are less useful, but I still need to get rebounds from somewhere. So I'll have a big man who's ranked 120th when I've got 15 guys that theoretically are ranked with that rank number better than them. And that's why rank can be misleading. And that's why I think that, again, with Brandon Wright's number, it can be misleading because the majority of it is fueled by turnovers. And that's something that which it does lead to, not necessarily confusion, but it's something that has to be investigated thoroughly as to what does it bring to your team, because you could play with one less player and actually get less turnovers. And that's something that, it's part of the reason why I just don't pay a massive amount of attention to turnovers, even if I'm in a 9 category head-to-head, or if I'm in a 9 category head-to-head league, I just don't pay attention to them. I'll win them half the weeks, I'll lose them half the weeks. I just don't pay attention to them, though. I'd rather get the other things sorted, and including efficiency stats, and get them under control. But I hope that explains my position on Brandon Wright. I know a lot of people were downvoting what I was saying on the player comments section on Basketball Monster today about when I was explaining about don't be overexcited by his rank, because it's inflated by that turnover number, and it might not be what you can look. Oh, he's a 70th ranked player, but if it's going to be below average points, assists, threes, steals, rebounds, even, and positive in turnovers and field goal percentage, is that really what you need? And that's the point that I was getting across. I hope that makes more sense. For the Nets, Brook Lopez, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. A good percentage night from him as well. But again, this game was a blowout, so the Nets spread their minutes out also. Markel Brown's the guy we wanted to be looking at to see how they played him. 24 minutes he got, 10 points with 2 assists and 3 triples. He's coming on, and he's worth looking at in 14-team leagues at the moment. Not looking at him in standard leagues yet, but keeping an eye on him. Donald Sloan played 24 minutes. Shane Larkin played 24 minutes. 4-2 and 8 for Sloan, 4-4 and 6 for Larkin. You love those assist numbers from both of them, but overall, they're just such subpar contributors, not must-own players. Thad Young, 10-9 in his 25 minutes. Wayne Ellington got hot and had 6 of 8 shooting for 18 points, including 4 triples. But if he doesn't hit his shots and he doesn't hit his threes, then his value is basically in the toilet. And speaking of in the toilet, Joe Johnson played 23 minutes for 0 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. He would have been the dud of the night, except I think he's owned in only 55% of leagues, and I want guys who are 70-plus owned to be my dud of the night. Chris McCullough, in his second game, 14 minutes, 5 points with a three and a rebound. Really, really intriguing guy. It's just not going to happen for him unless you're in a 30-team league this year. In an 18-team league, a 20-team league, I just do not think that it's going to have much of an impact with him, or he's not going to have much of an impact. The Denver Nuggets and the Detroit Pistons. Will Barton, and this is similar to what I was saying before, he only played 22 minutes, but he was still really productive. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and 1 3, but his minutes are definitely in flux. So are Nikola Jokic's. He was only at 25 minutes there, which is actually an improvement over the last couple of games. 5 and 6 with Jokic, and 2 assists and a steal. A lot of people are ready to move on from him. I'm not. He's been a guy who's easily been able to have top 100 value in only 22 minutes of action. So I'm not worried about a couple of poor performances. He is sick. He's been dealing with a sore shoulder as well. Not concerned about Nikola Jokic's. I'm always a little bit concerned, but nothing that's making me go, you know what, let's get rid of this guy and let's move on and let's do whatever we need to do. I'm holding him. What we did see was a massive Yusuf Nurkic performance, though. 16 and 11, 1 steal and 1 block. Love me some Yusuf Nurkic. Love to see him getting back into form. Yeah, you know what? As a flyer, maybe stash him in a 12-team league, add him and see what happens. But I think this might be the high point of him this season, or at least for the next few weeks. He has got tremendous potential. You know that I love Yusuf Nurkic. I love Nikola Jokic as well. They're a great combo. They should play next to each other. That would be my dream. And Kenneth Faried, in his 18 minutes, he had 12 and 6. He can go to another team, and I'd be pretty happy with that. Danilo Gallinari, 15, 7, and 4. Another 9 attempts with the free throw line, hitting 8 of them. Just a massive, massive contributor in that area. Gaz Harris, 36 minutes, 11, 2, and 4. 2 steals and a 3. Another underrated low-end line. And Emmanuel Mudiay, 14, 4, and 6 with 2 steals and a block and a 3-pointer. Putting in some pretty decent numbers. Always assuming that you can deal with some hits in percentages that he gives you. Joffrey Lavernier played 21 minutes for 4 points and 4 boards with no Darrell Arthur or no Jimmy Nelson in the lineup. Andre Drummond. You won't see this line from Drummond very often. 15 points, 17 rebounds, 2 assists, and then he went 3 blocks. Sorry, try again. Then he went 3 steals and 5 blocks. He was 7 of 22 from the field. So we could have seen, if he shot like normal, a massive, massive sort of performance, like a 30-point night from Drummond. If the amount of shots that he had, and he should have hit more of them, this could have been big. And then he had 1 free throw attempt, and he hit it. He was 100% from the free throw line. He was 32% from the field. If I was to say that Andre Drummond had 2 percentages on the day, one of them was 100% and one of them was 32%, every single person would tell me, yeah, he hit all of his field goals. He took 6 and hit all of them. And he was 32% from the free throw line. But instead, the other way around. Marcus Morris, 19, 2, and 6 in 35 minutes. The Pistons were without Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's going to be back immediately after the All-Star break, according to him. Reggie Jackson and Ersan Ilyasova, who were both sick. So we had some stopgap starters. Anthony Tolliver and Brandon Jennings got the start. Now on to Tolliver. He played 35 minutes, 6 points with 7 boards, 2 steals, a block, and 2 triples. Really just a deep league guy at this point, but that's decent production in a start. And Brandon Jennings played 29 minutes. That's the most he's played all year. 16, 3, and 1 with 4 triples on 6 of 12 shooting. Really, really promising numbers, and a lot of people are going to be going and adding Brandon Jennings now. I will not be one of them, because I don't imagine Reggie Jackson's going to be sick for the rest of the season. I also don't imagine the Pistons are going to be trading Brandon Jennings, nor are they going to be trading Reggie Jackson. So this was nice, and if Jackson was to get hurt, then, yeah, I'm all for going and adding Jennings and seeing what happens, because they have to play him, because the other guys behind him are pretty bad. But I'm not adding him after this. Another nice night from Darren Hilliard, 27 minutes, 9 points, a triple, 6 assists. I really think this guy can become a player. Definite, like a 6-man sort of rotational wing scorer. I really like what Hilliard can do, and he's proving it at the moment. Like, he's going to come back to relevance when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope comes back. But for now, Hilliard getting nice minutes and showing some very nice production. Stan Johnson's shooting wasn't great. 5 of 16, 11, 5, and 5 is an okay night. And he's almost definitely going to take a dip when KCP returns. I'd still be holding in a 12-team league just to see how it plays out. But I imagine he might go back to a 26, maybe 27-minute role. And that would render him irrelevant for standard leagues. The Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are a mess. The Hawks got a big, big victory. Jeff Teague, 17, 5 and 8 with 3 steals. This looks like a box score from last season with all of the Hawks players playing under 30 minutes when they win by 20. Al Horford, 16, 5 and 2 with 2 triples and 2 blocks. Paul Millsap, 15, 4 and 2 with 2 steals, a block and a 3. Kyle Korver, who has to be owned, 10, 4 and 3, 2 threes, 2 steals and 1 block. He's another guy that I said, you know what, this guy looks like he's really struggling. He has turned it around completely over the last week or two. Big, big numbers from Kyle Korver. We had, in this game, 9 players score in double digits, 9. And one of them wasn't Kent Bazemore. Was it 9 or was it 8? No, it was 8. I can't even count. Dennis Schroeder had 18 points in 18 minutes with 3 threes and 4 assists. Has to be owned. Has to be. Mike Muscala, 11 and 6 in 18 minutes. Thabo Sefolosha, 10 points with a triple 1 in 19 minutes. Mike Scott, 10 and 5 with 2 threes and 2 steals in 19 minutes. The bench got going as well, and Bazemore was the only guy to really struggle. 2 points in his 26 minutes, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. This will happen from time to time with him. Still hold on to him, but by no means is he a lock to be in your best 10 players. On the Bulls, no Jimmy Butler, obviously. Nikola Mirotic news came out that he's still dealing with pain, and he may be. He's still got no timetable to return, so this is not looking like it's going to be a return straight after the All-Star break from him. Taj Gibson got hurt in this one with a mid-foot strain, so that enabled Bobby Portis to play some bigger minutes. Now, we don't know the severity of Gibson's injury. It could be severe, it might not, but remember, they've got a week off now. So it's not like I'm dropping valuable guys to go and add Bobby Portis, because we've seen when he's the third big man, it doesn't equal fantasy stats for him. But if he's the second big man, which it could be the case if Mirotic is out, Noah's out, and Gibson's out, then it becomes interesting. He had 12 and 10 in 24 minutes here, Bobby Portis. Had a block as well. And if you've got some dead weight, maybe you add it and see until you hear some more news on Taj. But if this is not a serious problem with Gibson, then Portis is not someone I'm going to add. Pau Gasol, 20, 10 and 5. A nice night from him. And Dougie McDermott had a pretty good night as well. 17 and 3 with 2 triples and a steal. So big minutes for Dougie. Obviously, that helped with all the injuries the Bulls are suffering. Derrick Rose, 14, 5, and 3 on 6 of 18 shooting. Not good. Etuan Moore, 8, 6, and 5 with 2 steals. I like Etuan Moore in a 12-team league. And Mike Dunleavy, it's going to take him time to get his minutes back. He played 11 here, 2 points, a rebound, and an assist. Don't really think there's much point in stashing Mike Dunleavy. Not that I would think that anybody is currently doing that. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Lou Williams bounced back after a couple of subpar performances, 28 and 4, 2 assists, 4 triples and a block. Probably should be owned in most 12-team leagues, but I feel that there is going to be a drop-off coming. Jordan Clarkson, 22, 6 and 7 with 3 triples. That's a big night from him. And D'Angelo Russell, 15, 2 and 3 with 3 threes and 2 steals. Obviously, he must be owned as well. Lots of talk coming around. Should I drop Kobe? Should I trade Kobe? He's played 33 minutes here, 17, 6 and 3, 3 triples and a steal. This time off is going to help him. Still a punt field goal percentage guy who does hurt you in that category, but has to be owned, and I'm not looking to necessarily, unless selling high means someone doesn't understand fantasy basketball and thinks Kobe's a top 20 player, then I just hold him and just take those, you know, that mid-round value that you get from him, excluding the field goal percentage category. Roy Hibbert was back, 9-3 in 17 minutes. The collective fantasy basketball community lets out a who cares. Julius Randle struggled, 7 of 8 in his 27 minutes, and he's a young player. This will happen for him from time to time. Tariq Black got 18 minutes, which I like to see, 4 and 5. Here's what I never understand. Yeah, Hibbert's out, let's start Sakurai and play more than Black. Hibbert's back, let's not play Sakurai at all, but let's play Black the same amount. Let Black play. I think he can be a really destructive player in a bench role, but he should be given more time than a spud like Robert Sakurai. Onto the Cavs. I want to say something maybe a little bit controversial with the Cavs. Is it crazy for me to think that Kyrie Irving is their best offensive player? It probably is, considering they've got LeBron James, but LeBron has taken, you know, a couple of steps backwards over the last couple of seasons, and Irving is just, I don't know, maybe, no, he's probably not their best offensive player. He's their best scorer. I don't think that can be debated. He's their best just pure scorer. Interesting. He's looked awesome since coming back from this knee problem. 35, 3 and 7, 2 steals and 3 triples. There's a massive chance that post All-Star break, he's a top 10 fantasy player. You're really efficient. 15 of 24 shooting. really liking what I'm seeing from Kyrie here. LeBron, he was still really good though. 29, 7, and 11. Three triples and a steal. I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts. Am I on crack? That Kyrie could be a better player than what LeBron is at the moment? Offensively especially, or scoring-wise? I probably am on crack. Kevin Love, 20 minutes, 8, 6, and 3. Two triples and a steal. Thankfully, the injury's not so serious, and that's all that we care about in this one. J.R. Smith, in his 9 3-point attempts, hit 3 of them for 9 points, and that is all the contributions that he made. And Andy Varejao got some extra run with Love out. 19 minutes for Varejao, 8 and 6, and he can just be left alone, except if you're in an extremely, extremely deep league. Timofey Mozgov only played the 19 minutes. I thought he'd get more. He'd played over 20 in the last two, and then Love was out, so I thought maybe we're going to see 24 minutes from Mozgov, but no, he just is... He's a great example, and talk about it with plenty of things. Rookie wall has been my most common one lately, but contract year player. You know who's a contract year player? Timofey Mozgov. You know who's been just awful? Timofey Mozgov. Narratives fit players when they want them to fit players. If you're going to throw contract year out there, Timofey Mozgov in a contract year scored 6 points and 5 rebounds and lost his starting job and can't get any minutes. It goes both ways in pretty much everything. So I just thought I'd highlight that as another example, just to add to those lists of things that that piss me off when they overuse narratives. Yeah, that's better. Utah Jazz and New Orleans Pelicans. Pelicans, that's a massive win for the Pelicans over the Jazz. Derek Favors tried his best to not let it happen. 29 and 6, 2 assists and a steal on 11 of 15 shooting. Rudy Gobert, 12 and 14 with 2 blocks, taking advantage of the pretty poor defensive front court of the Pelicans. And Gordy Hayward, 21, 4 and 4, 2 steals and 2 threes. A good night there. And Rod Hood, part of the Hot Wings duo, 15 and 6 with 2 threes and 3 assists. You hear my tone of voice with Hot Wings. I'm not a fan of that nickname. I'm probably going to keep saying it though because it makes me laugh, but not in a good way. Hal Neto didn't have the foul trouble, so he got back to 33 minutes without Trey Burke. 9, 2, and 3, and 2 steals and a 3-pointer. It's really, interesting. He's starting to become just that back-end 14-team league guy when he was well out of consideration for that earlier in the year. And Trey Burke is just really bad. And Neto is providing a lot for this team. I think when Burke comes back, Burke's going to get some minutes, but Neto is not going to go back to 18 minutes. He's going to play 25 minutes and get the majority of these point guard minutes. Trevor Booker, 2-7 in his 20 minutes, and not much else. Trey Lyles only played the 3 minutes after a really strong game yesterday. On the Pelicans, Drew Holiday, 21, 6, and 9, 2 steals and a block in 31 minutes. He's really, really good. No Tyreke Evans in this one, obviously. Norris Cole, 24 minutes, 11, 2, and 4 with 2 steals and a 3. You know my thoughts on him. You have to own him, but he is probably going to be the worst player on your roster. He'll have some ups and he'll have some downs. Tony Douglas got 22 minutes in this one with Bryce DeJean-Jones only playing 19. Douglas, 8 points, 2 triples, 2 assists and 2 steals. And DeJean-Jones is probably going to miss tomorrow's game as they're negotiating a contract, meaning he's likely going to be signed for the rest of the season, but his contract has elapsed after this game and won't see the next one. Then they'll negotiate over the All-Star break. He is a 14 to 16 team league guy, DeJean-Jones, and Douglas is probably a 16 to 18. Now, Dante Cunningham started again, but he is in that really deep league category. And Omer Asik grabbed 8 rebounds in 17 minutes, while the criminally underused Alexei Ajinsa had 8 and 11 in his 21 minutes. The Toronto Raptors and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Raptors. DeMar DeRozan, 35, 3 and 4, 3 threes. This is great line from DeMar DeRozan. 3 triples, a steal, a block, 4 assists, super percentages. He is just a very, very underratedly good player. I love me some DeMar DeRozan. Bismack Biyombo played 20 minutes and had the devil's line. 6.6 rebounds and 6 blocks. This won't happen very often for him. You'd love it when it does, but it's not enough to own him in 12-team leagues. Well, Jonas Valanciunas continues to have his minutes limited, much to my chagrin, but he was effective. 12-7-2, a steal and a block. Hit all 4 of his field goal attempts. Hit all 4 of his free throw attempts, mirroring what Bismack Biyombo did, who hit both of his field goal attempts and both of his free throw attempts. Big percentage contributions from both of the centers in Toronto. Patrick Patterson played 30 minutes. He's continuing to get more minutes than Luis Scola. It doesn't turn into great fantasy value though. 8-5, while Scola went 8-3. Neither of them are in consideration for standard leagues. And Kyle Lowry struggled a bit. 4-15 for 14, 4-7. Had a nice triple one though. The small forward position. James Johnson was out, so Norman Powell started and went 8-2. We don't worry about him except for Dynasty. Terrence Ross went 11-3-2 with 3 triples in 27 minutes, and Corey Joseph went 8-5-4 in 27 minutes. Ross is the better own out of those two guys, but they're probably in a 12.5 or 13 team league, which doesn't really exist. They're just not quite good enough for 12s and must owns in 14 sort of situation. You put them, they're a streaming 12 sort of player. Now the Timberwolves, lots to say about the Timberwolves. They pulled off a victory against the Raptors, minus, if you ask their coaching staff, probably their 4 best players. Nikola Pekovic, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Martin, and Tayshaun Prince. The 4 most indispensable players to this team were all out. And look what happens when you put the kids together, who are the best 5 players on this team, and play them together and let them work together, you get a massive result. Now, I was obviously taking the piss when I said that Prince, Garnett, Pekovic, and Martin were the best 4 players, but the way that the coaching staff, Sam Mitchell, has used them, you would think that he thinks that they are. There's no point in playing Prince. There's no point in playing Pekovic. Yes, I understand playing Garnett, he's 8 minutes or whatever it is. And Kevin Martin, leave him in a tiny bench role. Give these guys the run. Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, Andrew Wiggins, Gorgui Dieng, Karl Anthony Towns. If I can see it from 10,000 kilometers away, I don't even know if that's how far away I am from Minnesota. Why can't you see it looking at it? Massive, massive games from these guys. I've already talked about Towns. Ricky Rubio, 19-8-8. He hit 3 triples. He had a steal. He hit all 6 of his free throws. He was 5-9 from the field. Awesome. Gorgui Dieng played 41 minutes, 14-10-6 with 2 steals and a block. This guy's a good player. Who knew? Everybody. Andrew Wiggins, 26-3, 2 steals and a block, chipping in the other categories. You like that. Zach LaVine started, played next to Ricky Rubio, played 38 minutes, 13-4-5 with a 3 and a block. All these guys obviously have to be owned. Towns, Rubio, Dieng, Wiggins, LaVine. Now, Mitchell's going to come back in, stuff it up by putting Prince back in, by putting Garnett back in, by adding 15 minutes of Nick Pekovic, by adding 17 minutes of Kevin Martin. Just don't. You know what you do? You take the 7 minutes off Adrian Payne and you give them to Kevin Garnett. Fine. The 12 minutes of Nemanja Bjelica? I'd rather have 12 minutes of Bjelica than have Prince. Kevin Martin? Sit his ass down. Andre Miller's 11 minutes? Whatever, fine. I prefer Tyus Jones get them. Leave these guys to coach. Leave them to practice. Play them occasionally, but let these good players play. And let them let them develop into good players. And we absolutely saw it today. Yes, I know Tayshaun Prince's defense has been good, but in the scope of things, what does it matter? What does it matter if the Timberwolves hold teams an extra 2 points per 100 possessions better this season? It means absolutely nothing. It hampers the development of guys playing together. In 4 years' time, are they going to be like, oh, geez, I wish we had Tayshaun Prince here to provide 20 minutes of 1 rebound and he's good on ball defense? Like, no. Let LaVine learn to be a defender. Let Wiggins improve his defense. Let Dieng play the power forward spot. I've ranted enough about this, but the proof is in what happens. And almost no doubt it will be stuffed up at some point coming up. Almost no doubt. The Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. Steph Curry, he's pretty good. Almost a triple-double, 26-9-9, 5 triples, 1 steal, 1 block, awesome percentages. Klay Thompson broke out of a funk as well, 24-3, had 5 triples and 5 steals. So good nights from both those guys. And shockingly to me, Andrew Bogut backed up a 28-minute game with a 23-minute game, 4-9, 2 steals and 3 blocks. Love it. He can be a real fantasy animal in only 23 minutes. The problem is I don't have confidence in him doing it, but hey, that's 2 in a row. All-star break coming up. Maybe he continues to get these minutes moving forward. I'm not really sure. Draymond Green, 9-6-3. That's 2 stinkers in a row for Draymond. He's due for a big game. And Harrison Barnes is a definition of a stinker. 8-6 with 2 triples and a block. Just do not love him for fantasy. Yes, he probably, in all honesty, should be owned in 12-team leagues. But really, what's he giving us? His rank on the last 2 weeks, 147. That's pluh. Like, what is it? Yeah, 2 threes a game. That's it. Everything else is a negative. Just not a big Harrison Barnes for fantasy fan. Andre Iguodala had a stinker, 2-2-3 in his 21 minutes. On the Suns, they were without, obviously, Brandon Knight, TJ Warren, and Ronnie Price, but they also gave DNP CDs to Sonny Weems, Jordy McRae, and John Lua. They went with an 8-man rotation. They had Archie Goodwin and Markieff Morris punching on in the huddle. Now, Markieff let out a big statement later on, and you can read that and see what he says. He says that there was no anger. Although there was anger, there was no animosity. There was no aggression. It was like a big brother, you know, teaching a little brother how to play. And the words that he was saying to Goodwin as he was pushing him, apparently, were, "I love you, we're going to do this better." Maybe that's true. And obviously, Markieff is a weird cat, and there's a lot of odd stuff that he does. Maybe that's part of it, but it's a terrible look, obviously. Now, you hear a lot of people rightly disgusted, but I know Matt Smith is massively pissed off with what Markieff did. I'm not as angry about it, and again, you hear a lot of comments coming out, this has destroyed his trade value. Seriously, we know who Markieff Morris is. If you don't know that he's a knucklehead, that he's a hothead, that he does dumb shit all the time, then why are you following the NBA? Because you know this stuff. And if you're a GM trying to trade for him, you know this stuff. You know what he's like. He's still supremely talented, 19-8-4 in 36 minutes with a steal and a block. I don't think this changes anything about the trade prospects of Markieff Morris moving forward. It's, I don't know. Interesting to see what happens. And it'd be good to hear from Archie Goodwin about what he thought about it. Devin Booker was great, 15-7-10, 2 steals and a 3. So if he can add 10 assists into his game, which is clearly not going to happen every game, it's a real another string to his bow, because basically he was a three-point guy with nice free throw percentage and some scoring. But 7 rebounds, 10 assists, and 2 steals is fantastic. Tyson Chandler played 27 minutes, 13-10, and that limited Alex Len to 14 minutes. If I had a boo sound effect, I would do that. 6-7 for Len with a steal and a block. Now, I'm still holding Len through the break, but that's not. I would have hoped for him to just consistently get 27 minutes over Chandler. That's not happening. PJ Tucker played 46 minutes and struggled, 8-4-4 with 2 triples on 3 of 11 shooting. He should still be held onto. And Archie Goodwin in 28 minutes, 22-2 with a 3. Goodwin's been great. I dropped Goodwin today in a 10-team league to try and grab someone. I can't remember who I grabbed. But I dropped him because I'm less and less convinced that Brandon Knight is not going to play this season. I'm positive that Knight is going to be back, and he's going to be back in the next couple of weeks. So, yes, Goodwin might have some short-term value, but this was a team where I was sitting right at the top of the standings, and I'm trying to get more of an idea for the playoffs. And I just don't think that when playoffs come, Archie Goodwin is going to be a viable player. He might be, and it's a risk you take. And a lot of people have been asking me, do I drop Archie Goodwin and pick up Dennis Schroeder? It's a risk because you might drop Goodwin and Knight doesn't come back. And then you've missed out on Archie Goodwin. But you might keep Goodwin. Teague gets traded. Schroeder becomes a star. And Knight comes back and you're left with nothing. Schroeder's upside is higher than Goodwin's. The chances of Knight coming back are higher than the chances of Teague not getting traded, I think. So to me, if I'm making that move, I probably do Schroeder for Goodwin. And it's a hard one to do because you're definitely losing out in the short term. And it's a risk of waiting for something to happen rather than a risk of waiting for something to not happen. And when you're getting something happening, like production from Goodwin, it's always hard to go, oh, this is going to stop, let's cut bait early, rather than, oh, let's add this guy and hope that something turns out. But that's the way I see it. I think that Knight is going to be back in the next 2 weeks. And I think that, there's a bigger chance of T getting traded than there is of Knight not playing. Anyway, they played Orlando Johnson 28 minutes, which was interesting. 9-8 with 3 blocks, but I would rather than play him 28 minutes than give Sonny Weems minutes. The last game of the night, the Houston Rockets and the Portland Trailblazers. Jim Harden added again, 34-9-11, 3 triples, 2 steals. Big game from Jim. And Dwight was good too, 28-13 with a block on supreme percentage, 13-17 and 2-7 from the line. Trevor Reza, 8-3-4, but 2 steals, 2 threes. That's where his value comes from. And Pat Beverley had 4 assists and 7 points in 32 minutes. Let's check on Ty Lawson. Did he do anything? He played 9 minutes and had 1 rebound. That is 2 pitiful games from Ty Lawson. He is as bad as it gets at the moment. His confidence must be rock bottom. Not much happening on the bench here for the Rockets. Clint Capela played 17 minutes, had 10 boards, but 1 point, and that came from hitting one free throw out of 6 attempts, and Josh Smith only played the 6 minutes. So that Josh Smith thing lasted about 4 games, and he is done. He is relegated to very, very deep leagues now with the way that the Rockets are running their rotation. Onto the Blazers, Dame Lillard, 31, 3-9, 3 steals, 4 triples, big game from him. CJ McCollum couldn't match it, 14, 1-2, not his greatest night, even though it was a good matchup opportunity. And Mo Harkless, I talked about it earlier, he was fantastic, 19 and 13, a 3, an assist, and 2 steals. That's 2 big games out of his last 3 for Harkless. I love what he can do. He does have 12-team league upside if he can maintain a 30-minute role. I'm not sure that he can. But I'm okay with adding in a 14-team league all over it, because there's not many guys off the waiver wire you're going to be able to find that have Mo Harkless's value. And hopefully, it's able to stick. If Vonleh out of the rotation, he's completely fine with me. Myers Leonard, 14-8 in 23 minutes. He is more of a 14-team league guy, and it doesn't appear that it's going to change. Mason Plumlee, really restricted. Fouls were a problem, though. 16 minutes, 8-4. And Al-Farouq Aminu, 11-3-5 in 25 minutes. Alan Crabb struggled, only 5 points in 30 minutes, and I was talking about him the other day that he's worth looking at in a 12-team league. This is obviously not a great performance, but he's not a bad hold. And my boy Gerald Henderson played 32 minutes and scored 13 points and didn't do a huge amount else and shot the ball poorly. And that is what his that's what the MO is on him. That's basically what he does most of the time. All right, we are done with those 12 games. That was a stack of stuff to go through. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk the 2 DFS games for Thursday. Games only on Thursday, so it's not a great DFS day with 2 games. There's a stack of lineup overlap with people having the same lineups in these sort of situations, so winning big prizes means you're often splitting with people. It's often a day where if I'm going to play, I'm going to be playing a lower amount of bankroll in this sort of day, but doesn't mean you don't have to play. You can always play and see what you can do, but there is that slight issue, I guess, with it. The first game, the Washington Wizards and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are favored by 1.5. The total is 211 points. Big totals in both of these games today. The Bucks are going to be running with that same starting lineup. So OJ Mayo and Miles Plumlee starting above Michael Carter-Williams and Greg Monroe. John Henson has been ruled out already for Milwaukee. And on Washington, Gary Neal is questionable with a thigh issue. He's had so many injuries this season. A real pain in the ass he's been all year. Now, the point guard spot in this game, Jared Bayless is at 4,100. He played 32 minutes in the last game. He's averaging more than what Michael Carter-Williams is over the last 3 games. He's at only 4,100, which is 2,200 less than Carter-Williams. At 4,100, if he gives you 22 points, 5x, boom, done. And I feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to get to 20 points, or at least to 20 points. Carter-Williams, on the other hand, 6,300. He hasn't been achieving that value lately. I'd probably leave him alone. And Johnny Wall at 10,400. Now, the Bucks do shut down point guards pretty well, but how good has he been? He's averaging 52 points across his last 5 games. His lowest score has been 37.8. He's had 2 60-point games in the last 5. 2 of them. I'm all for using John Wall at 10,400. You could definitely run a backcourt of John Wall and Russell Westbrook and fill in some other cheaper guys somewhere else and be pretty happy that those 2 guys can easily combine for 100 points. Yes, they've combined for 22,000 of your salary, but 100 points. Ramon Sessions, he had a stretch at the start of the season when he was useful. That stretch is over. The shooting guards in this one, Bradley Beal is definitely worth having a look at. He's been playing fantastically well. He's had a day of rest, and that means he's not going to likely go back to the bench. 6,300 for Beal. He dropped a 40 in the last game. He's averaging 30 across the last five, 33 across his last three. His matchup in this one is beautiful for him. Love it. Garrett Temple, don't care. He can get as many minutes as he wants, and he'll do nothing. And OJ Mayo at 3,800. He's a tournament guy to look at, because if he's going to start, maybe he gets hot and plays well, and then Kidd runs him 25 minutes. He'd be someone to look at anyway, but definitely don't want to look at him in cash games. Chris Middleton's salary's come down a lot. It's at 7,300, but his production's not quite where it needs to be. His highest score in his last five is 38. Otto Porter's a pretty good defender who'll likely play on him. Not sure I want to get too invested in Chris Middleton. At the small forward position, Otto Porter, the guy that I just mentioned, he is at 5,300. That's a palatable salary. He's averaging 25 across the last three games. He is someone to look for, and matchup-wise, it's a nice one. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you got to pay 2,000 extra for Giannis. He's only averaging 31, and at 7,300, that's not overly appealing. Porter's a pretty good defender. Now, Antetokounmpo can have big games. He's an okay tournament guy, but in cash games, I definitely don't have trust in him. At power forward, Jabari Parker at 4,700 has just really struggled. He's only averaging 18 across the last five. He's had an 8-point game in the last five, just not getting it done. Not a bad matchup for him, but the trust level is pretty low. 4,600 for Jared Dudley. I much prefer using him. Lovely matchup as a small ball four. He is averaging 21 points across the last five, which at 4,600 is not quite where it needs to be, but he can have a decent night, so I'm not against using him. Nene, no thanks. Drew Gooden, Chris Humphries, that's the injured trio of big men who they're all supposed to be playing, but they're just all not good. Now the centers, I reckon you get a lot of value here. In Milwaukee, I don't mind both guys. Miles Plumlee's at 3,500, so he's at minimum salary. And like Mayo, if he plays 22 minutes, maybe he gets to 18 points. There's a possibility he does that, and at minimum salary, you have to consider it in a tournament. Greg Monroe at 8,200. Not many other big-priced centers on the board. If you're looking to spend up there, you can. He dropped 51 in the last game off the bench. This is a neutral value ease matchup against the Wizards. He is someone that I'd be looking for. He's been putting up some pretty nice numbers. And Marcin Gortat going up against the Bucks, the matchup is beautiful. He's at 6,900, so it's not a big salary. This has got 35, 40-point upside definitely for Gortat in this sort of matchup. The next game is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Thunder are favored by 12. The total is 220 points and a half. Bryce DeJean-Jones likely won't play due to that contract snafu, so we're going to get some extra minutes for guys like Tony Douglas. Let's look at the point guard battle here. Well, Douglas is one of them. He's at 3,500. He's worth a look. He put up 16 today in 22 minutes. Maybe he gets another 22 minutes. Maybe he gets 25 minutes. He is worth a look in a tournament. Norris Cole at 5,100. Begrudgingly, I say you got to pay attention because the ease ranking on him is pretty high going up against the Thunder, but he's just not a good player. I love Russ Westbrook. 11,000. Yeah, again, you put him and John Wall in that backcourt, that's a stack of points. You are almost... His lowest score, Westbrook, in his last five is 46. That's incredibly big. Incredibly big. And he's got 70-point upside. He's got 80-point upside, in fact. Drew Holiday's the other one. He's at 7,400. 41-point average across his last three. Love the matchup for him against Westbrook as well. Fine spending up on any of those guys, really, in this one. At shooting guard, Dion Waiters at 4,200. Actually had a big game in the last one. Not like it's an overly tough matchup here going up against the Pelicans. So at 4,200, he's worth throwing into a lineup. No one else, point guard or shooting guard wise, that's really worth paying attention to. In the small forwards, Kevin Durant, you have to love him. 10,700, 52 average across the last five, 57 across the last three. Doesn't get much better than that. 10,700, I'm all for it. These other guys, Alonzo G, Luke Babbitt, Kyle Singler, no thank you. All minimum salary guys who will have no place on any of my rosters. At power forward, Anthony Davis, another high salary player, 10,200. Look, he's the best big salary guy out there at power forward. I think he's the only one who's over 7,500. But if I'm choosing between John Wall, Russ Westbrook, and Kevin Durant, they all go above Anthony Davis, especially with the way that Davis' form has been pretty good, but it just hasn't been $10,000 worth of good. Serge Ibaka at 5,500. I don't like using him, but the matchup's good, and his salary is so depressed at 5,500. I imagine his ownership would be low. He's a nice tournament guy to pivot onto when I don't think that many people are going to be going that direction. You pay 400 less for him than you do for Ryan Anderson. Give me Ibaka every single day of the week. Yes, Anderson can get hot and hit threes. Ibaka can get hot and block six shots and grab 10 boards and have two triples as well. You have to take Ibaka in that spot, I think. For the centers, Omer Asik is not someone that we need to pay too much attention to, but Steve Adams at 4,300 against this weak Pelicans front court. Him and Enes Kanter, 4,300 for Adams, 5,100 for Kanter. Both of them are in consideration for tournaments. Not sure there's a much cash game value in either of them because the consistency is not high, but they're in tournaments. We know that Kanter can go for 35 and Adams can go for 30 as well. And at 4,300, that could be pretty nice. Now I'm going to show up the DFS picks of the day. There's obviously a lot of players from the same games because there's only two of them on. At point guard, Jared Bayless, 41, Drew Holiday, 74, and Russ Westbrook, 11,000. Shooting guard, 4,200 for Deion Waiters, Brad Beal at 6,300, and there is no high-priced shooting guards on the board. At small forward, I do not like one of the low-priced small forwards at all. Otto Porter's at 5,300, and KD is at 10,700. For the power forwards, Jared Dudley, 46, Serge Ibaka, 5,500, and Anthony Davis at 10,200. And the centers, Miles Plumlee, 35, Marcin Gortat at 69, and Greg Monroe, 8,200. We are done for today's podcast, guys. I hope you guys enjoy the two games, enjoy All-Star Week, enjoy the break. Now, just make sure you're staying tuned to Twitter and Facebook, Twitter, Redrock_Bball, Facebook.com/RedrockBasketball, for the schedule of what's happening over the next week. These are the things that we are going to have. I'm going to have a Dynasty podcast. I'm going to have a rookie recap podcast, which has Dynasty Talk in it as well. I am going to have a look at the second half of the season podcast. I am, fingers crossed, having an interview with an NBA player podcast. Plus, there are going to be a few other things that I've got up my sleeve for shows that are going to be happening over this All-Star break. There's going to be a trade podcast. A real-life trade podcast where we talk through supposed trades. That'll happen. All this stuff and timeline is and when they're going to happen is yet to be decided, but there will be no recap of these two games for tomorrow. I am not going to do a podcast tomorrow night, my time, Friday morning, States people time. There won't be a podcast on that day, but there will be at least one or two over the weekend, most likely two. At least one, and then during the week we'll have some more stuff coming out. So there will be content across All-Star Break. Enjoy All-Star Break. Enjoy the festivities. Make some moves on your team. But remember, with these things now, if guys get injured, they've got a week and a half to recover. And that might mean they miss no time. Kevin Love, Kelly Olynyk, all these guys with shoulder problems. Taj Gibson with his foot. They might not miss any time because they've got a week to sit and do nothing. Or, not sit and do nothing, but to recover and to get their treatment. Don't forget, basketballmonster.com, great site for all your DFS and seasonal stuff. Obviously, I'm pretty happy with the work that we do over there. And hardwoodparoxysm.com, constantly churning out podcasts and articles with our fantastic NBA content in them. We are done, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.